each time we meet, we have a time of thinking through and confessing our sins. And it's good that we do that each Sunday. We know we should do this during the week. When we sin, we should turn at that time. But it is good to think things through on a Sunday morning when we meet. So let's have a moment of quiet to think through our motives and our actions from the previous week before we confess our sins and ask for God's forgiveness. God, our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For behaving just as we wish without thinking of you. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
Almighty God, you have given us a kingdom that cannot be destroyed. Forgive us our sins. Open our eyes to your truth. Strengthen us to do your will. And give us the joy of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's worship the Lord again with Here I Am to Worship.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted. Yeah. sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow.
Pauline will now bring us our reading from Jonah chapter 3. Sorry, Pauline.
That's all right. This is from Jonah chapter 3, and we're reading verses 1 to 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger, so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did, and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Sally will now speak to us on Jonah chapter 3.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. Let's pray. Lord, you have our hearts. Open them to receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen. After our adventures into Philippi over the past few weeks, today we find ourselves returning to the lectionary. And so I have chosen the passage from Jonah for us to think about this morning. In Matthew chapter 12, the Pharisees asked Jesus to show them a miraculous sign. He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asked for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the earth." Most of us will be very familiar with the story of Jonah, and the fact that Jesus speaks of him means that we should be interested in him too. The mere mention of his name will conjure up certain images or literary references, depending on whether we were drawn to visual images or the written word. If I had started with the words, "Call me Ishmael," I suspect your thoughts would have been drawn to the ocean and another whale, a great white, Moby Dick. Now, I don't have sea legs. I'm not good on the sea. So just the thought of taking that book off the bookcase would have sent me into sort of motion sickness, so to speak. So instead, I've chosen for us to leave Moby Dick on the shelf for this morning, but concentrate on Jonah's words. In the Bible that we use at school, Jonah is referred to as Jonah the Groaner. I rather like that reference because for me it makes him fully human. And who doesn't like to have a good moan or groan from time to time? I expect all of us enjoy that, don't we? The book of Jonah is a very short one, and our reading came from chapter 3. But I think to put it into context, we need to consider where Jonah started. And so you will have to indulge me as I'm going to sort of start and go back a little bit to the beginning of Jonah as we consider his groanings and how God met with him along the way and see if we ourselves are changed or challenged by God. Jonah was one of the minor prophets who we read comes from a place near Galilee called Gath-Hepher. And he prophesied in the northern kingdom of Israel during the reign of King Jeroboam II, around 793 to 758 BC, we are told. There had been battles to recover lost territories and restore borders. And as with warnings from other prophets, such as Amos, we see signs that God will judge all people, even the Israelites, although they feel that they are favoured and have a special relationship with God. And it is in this understanding, this relationship, that we see Jonah falling. God wants Israel's enemies, the Assyrians of Nineveh, to hear his word. And in the very opening chapter, God gives Jonah an instruction where he tells him to go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before God. Now, Nineveh, whereabouts is it? Well, today it would be around Mosul, the Iraq. So what does Jonah do? He boards a ship at Joppa, going in the opposite direction to God's calling, And now we have with us Val, who has just come back from Spain. And in our reading this morning, we find Jonah getting on a boat, trying to make his way to Spain. And how about you and me? When God asks us to do something, do we follow his instructions and obey? Or do we try and scuttle off in the wrong direction, hoping that he won't notice, and so choose somebody else for a certain task? I'll leave you to think about that. Does it sound familiar? For me it does, if I'm honest. As we read on, we find that Jonah's actions have implications for his fellow crew members on board ship. And whilst he sleeps, God sends a storm to wake him and shake him into action. He's already told his fellow shipmates that he believes in God. And no wonder they want to know what on earth could he have done to upset God so much that they find themselves in the middle of this storm. He holds his hand up and said, "There's a way out of this for you. Throw me overboard." And we know that eventually this is what has happened, and where he is swallowed up by a great fish. Now, whether that's true or not, we don't know. But we do know that having spent 3 days inside this fish, he wants to be forgiven and he wants to be saved. What would our big fish be? Do we find ourselves in a dark place sometimes that draws us in deeper and deeper, for which we sometimes feel there is no way out? Are we brave enough? Do we trust God enough to call on him to rescue us? We will go to places where we are weary, hurt, troubled. And then we find those places that bring us comfort and security, so to speak. I invite you, if you wish, later on to read chapter 2 of Jonah, because in chapter 2 we find Jonah praising God for his rescue. Are there times when we feign sleep or hide under the duvet? It strikes me that now is the right time to be asking God the direction he wants us to travel in and where he wants us to be. We must resist being disobedient and ready for responsibility and new actions. How can we know where we are being called to, unless we spend time seeking a divine revelation from God? Do we spend as much time in his presence as we should? Can we give ourselves fully to him and allow the Holy Spirit within us to surrender to God's will? Can we disobey self in order to obey God, so that he can direct our actions? It's a big call and a big ask. And yet surely our desire to share God's love for all outweighs any feelings we may have of inadequacy and not being up for the task. I remember God speaking to me over and over again back in the mid-1990s, just before I went forward for selection for ordination training. 3 separate people suggested to me that I ought to do this, and I put it off for a year. I said, "No, it's not for me. Ask me again in a year." And during that year, God kept speaking to me with the same words, words that were familiar because they're words we use in our Holy Communion liturgy. As we give our offerings to God and before we receive communion. They are David's prayer, found in 1 Chronicles 29. All that I have comes from you, and all that you have given I give back to you. Or thereabouts, whichever version of your Bible you read. Do we give back to God what he has given and blessed us with? And so, after going in the wrong direction, Jonah finally agrees to turn around and obey God, even though he didn't believe that what God was asking him to do was right. As we have heard, Nineveh was a big place that would take 3 days to walk around. Jonah goes to the city. Before him, seemingly, he had an impossible task. Not surprisingly for us, but maybe for him, his words have a dramatic effect on the people of Nineveh, so much so that the king leads the way, putting on sackcloth and declaring both man and beast follow his lead, repent and fast too. Do we notice the power in God's word through Jonah, this man who was doing something that he didn't really want to do? And I'm sure that God has a sense of humour, because if you're like me, did you get that image where we're told that all animals and people put on sackcloth? Now, can we imagine what that must have looked like, you know? Everything surrendering to God's word, doing his will and turning to him. Often in humour we find an important truth. How about you and me? Would we still be angry as Jonah was? It's not fair are often words we hear from children when they feel a sibling has been allowed to do something they have been denied. It's not fair, we too say, when seemingly a bad person gets away with a wrong action. It's not fair. I wanted to do that, but someone else got there first. We are living at a time of unrest and uncertainty. And via the media, we have recently witnessed protests as people seek a voice to judge the actions of others and seek retribution. How about you and me? Do we live our lives by our own rules and judgments? Or do we trust God will ultimately be the judge? Are we easily angered? Or are we more peaceable people? Can we grasp what ultimately eluded Jonah? Our God is a God for all people everywhere. And not just the God that we think should be caring for just the people that we think matter. Today's news brings us daily updates on the COVID-19 pandemic, stories of political unrest, storms, wildfires, and protests where people are hurting. Can we recognise God's presence in these places and situations? Is he where you would not expect him to be, ministering to those we would not have expected him to care about? What does this show us about our life as church together in our communities? Are we witnessing in the way that God wants? I believe that God wanted Jonah to stop being angry and open his heart to all people. Jesus' death and resurrection are our hope and our promise. And it should be our greatest desire to share this good news at every opportunity with everyone we meet. We can feel that this is a task beyond our capabilities and a task not for us. But let us look again at Jonah. And let us think about where God wants us to be and what we can achieve together. Romans 8:37 reminds us, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So God knows exactly where you and me are today. He knows what's on our hearts. He knows our passions. He knows our worries. He knows how much we love him. So we're now going to conclude with a time of open prayer, where we can speak to God, we can share, and we can ask him to bless us and point us in the right direction. Amen.
Amen. If you want to pray so that other people can join in, if you just unmute yourself for that moment, you should have that on the bottom left of your screen normally if you've got a Windows machine. So if you want to do that, you just need to unmute yourself.
We often sing in our worship time, we give you our all, we worship you, we give you everything. But yet, Lord, our actions don't always tie in with the words that come out of our mouths. Lord, just make our hearts more thankful, more responsive to you. And Lord, we need to spend time with you more and more, to be in the relationship with you that we need to be. Lord, forgive us where we've rushed into things, where we have our own agendas and we don't seek you. How can we expect to know what you want for us in our lives without spending time with you? Lord, please help us to do that in the days and weeks ahead, to give you ourselves. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus. I thank you for his ministry here on earth. Thank you for his healing, his teaching, his love and compassion, and his self-sacrifice on the cross, and his death and resurrection, giving us all the hope of eternal life through him. Bless us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And Father, we thank you for Derek and Paul who listened to your call and themselves are going to far off places at your call following you. Thank you that they now are underway, despite all the problems that there have been with their boat. Thank you particularly for everyone in the crew being able to go yesterday, despite the paperwork not being right. Thank you for ensuring that happened, but we are so thankful, and I'm sure they are as well. Amen. We continue in prayer shortly, but before we do that, let's declare our faith together in the one true loving God who binds us together as his people, his family, his body. Just bear with me while I turn Sally off. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven. Sorry, let's start again. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ,
his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead.
On the third day, he rose again.
He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father.
And he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Amen.
And before we pray together, we sing together to worship the Lord.
Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for you. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Oh, Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice, and I will pray. I will sing of love come down, and as you show your face, we'll see your glory here. Lord, you have my I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Oh, Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice. I will praise you, Lord.
I will praise you,
and I will sing of love come down.
I will sing of love come down.
And I
So could you unmute? Blessed be Christ, the Prince of Peace.
He breaks down the walls that divide us. Praise Christ, who is our peace.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
In a moment, I will unmute everyone if my cursor will appear. No, I've lost control of the computer. Here we go. If you'd like to unmute yourself, we can bless each other in the words of the peace. So the peace of the Lord be always with you, everyone.
And also with you.
Peace be with you.
And also with you.
I'd like to give each other a wave.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you, everybody. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you all.
With you.
Peace be with you. Transcends all understanding. Guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus.
Thanks, Val.
Peace be with you.
Sally said that.
Before we pray, we have one more song to sing together.
To sit at your feet, where your love surrounds me and makes me complete. This is my desire, O Lord, this is my desire. This is my desire, O Lord, this is my desire. This is my desire, oh. this is my desire.
We now enter our time of prayer, and Colin will be leading us in that.
Let us pray. The collect prayer for today. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and meditation of Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
Lord, today we pray for your church around the world and those you have called to carry your gospel message of forgiveness and freedom. Thank you for those with the gift for sharing the good news in the way that they live. Today, we lift you, Derek and Paula and their crew, as they sail from Turkey, and thank you for answering prayer. Mm. Be there with them on the journey ahead and bless their mission. Give us the courage and willingness to be your witnesses too, that we do not turn away when you give us a task to do. Fill us with your love so that the world may believe. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
Lord, we now turn to our world and lift to you the people and places where there is trouble and unrest. We pray for the crews on board the three ships in the Mediterranean, lifting the migrants from the sea and giving them aid. We pray for the unrest in Canada and Belarus and in the Sudan. We pray for those dealing with the oil spill in the ocean at Mauritius and the cleanup operation in the United States following the storm. Lord, many are living fragile lives, and our own natural world is being damaged. Help us to be mindful of others' needs and show us how we can be the difference. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
We pray for those going through times of trouble, those who are unwell, and those who need to feel the healing hand of God. We give thanks that Tom is home from hospital. We pray for Jules and for the doctors and nurses in charge of her care, and for Mike too. We pray for Hazel, with John and Trish, Paul and Glennis. We now pause a moment to lift the names of people we know who are really in need of the touch of God. So either speak them out loud in your home or keep them within the quiet of your heart for just a moment now to do that. Loving Lord, we ask you to touch with your generous love all those on our hearts today because of their special need. May your love flood their lives with hope and healing in spirit, mind and body. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
Lord, we look to this coming week, and particularly we think of the schools reopening for a new school year. We give you thanks for all the preparations that have been put into place for the safety and well-being of staff and children and young people. Bless them all, we pray, and may the joy of seeing each other outweigh the fear of infection. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
Finally, Lord, into your hands, we commit those who have run the race and kept the faith, even if that faith was known only to you, and have now gone to their reward. May your light shine upon them forever, and may our lives be riches because of their memory. Bless us this day and those you have committed to our care through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We continue to pray together in the words of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that the Lord gave his disciples when they asked him to show them how to pray. As ever, please use the version that you find brings you closest to God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord God Almighty is our Father.
He loves us and tenderly cares for us all.
The Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour.
He has redeemed us and will defend us to the end.
The Lord, the Holy Spirit, is among us.
He will lead us in God's holy way. To God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be praise and glory today and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless us and watch over us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord look kindly upon us and give us peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with us all, now and evermore. Amen. We finish our time together by singing a song to the Lord, which reminds us of how great he is, what he has created, and yet sent his Son to die for us.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, no point of reference to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath. The planets form, and if the stars were made to worship so light, I could see your heart in everything you made. Every burning star, signal fire of grace. And if creation sings your praises, so will I. Down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Well, you lost your life so I can find it. measure could amount to your desire. You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
Well, we've reached the end of our service today, but if you'd like to stay on in 5 minutes, we'll come back and we'll have a couple of breakout groups. So if you want to toddle off for a few minutes and come back, you'd be very, very welcome. Hope you can, because that's usually a nice time to have a bit of a chat and catch up. You can even discuss the sermon.